Thanks for having me here. When you told me that Father Harting was supposed to come, it's brotherhood, helping each other, supporting each other. But also I was thinking, if he comes here on Friday, he's going to be very tired on Saturday, and he's going to tell me he's going to cancel in Mass. No, I'm glad I was able to come. Usually on Fridays at noon, we have a pizza with the preschoolers. So I gave up pizza for you. But as you can see, I don't need any more pizza. So now he sends his greetings. He's doing fine. He was feeling very tired on Tuesday and Wednesday, he went to see the doctor. We were afraid he had COVID again, because this will be the third time for him. But no, thank God it's not. They ran different tests, and everything was negative. They just think he has asthma, so they think it's just his asthma. So they gave him some medicine, and he's feeling a little bit better. When I asked him what I should talk about, he said, well, you can talk about anything you want. I said, well, I don't think people want to hear anything I want to say. But however, when I was talking to Emily and I asked her, what's Father Harting supposed to talk about? She mentioned that last month you had Father O'Leary. You had Father O'Leary, and now this time you wanted one of the older priests to see what has helped them to persevere as priests for 50 years. So I thought that was a beautiful question. So I'll talk about that instead of my vocation.
Have you been a priest for 50 years too?
Close. No, I've been a priest for 23 years. So just a little bit about my vocation. I came to Spokane when I was 19 years old, 20 years old. I came here at Bishop White and then Gonzaga. And that's when I had the opportunity to meet many of you, as you used to come. I think it was on the first Friday of the month. And you introduced me to one of my addictions, maple bars. I never knew what a maple bar was until I met you. Now, in every parish I go on Sunday, everybody knows they have to say a maple bar for me. And I don't know why they say only one. I could have more than one, but that's your fault. Maple bars, it's your fault. So I just remember seeing you there. And at the time, I didn't know what the Serra Club was. I just knew that there was a lot of people praying for us as seminarians and supporting us in any way we needed it. So thank you so much. I was ordained a priest in August 11, 2000, here at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Lourdes. That year, I think, I don't remember how many people were ordained with you, Father Kyle. Was it you?
Me and Father Cruz.
Was it the year before you or after you?
Five.
Was five?
Yeah.
So we still have the record, I think. That year, in 2000, there were six of us who were ordained. It was Father Barnett, Father Tom Connolly, Father Victor Blasovic, Father Jose Millan, Father Richard St. Paul, and myself. So it was six of us. It has been the biggest class ordination in a long time. My first 7 years as a priest, I was in the south of the diocese, mainly in Pasco and Otelo, working a lot with bilingual ministry, Spanish and English. And the southern part of our region, it's growing a lot with Hispanic people. So I spent my first 7 years as a priest over there. And in 2008, I came over here to Spokane. Bishop Skilstad asked me to come and help Father Dublinski, because he was, at the time, he was the Vicar General, and there was a lot of work. You remember those days, they had a lot of work, lots of things to do. So I came over here, and I've been here in Spokane since, around Spokane. I was in I was in Chini for two years, I think. And then I have been at Fatima for the last 9 years. That question, what has helped you to persevere as a priest? I think the obvious one, it's prayer. The obvious one, it's prayer. Not only my private prayer, but also praying with people in the parishes, leading community prayer in the parish. But also, at Our Lady of Fatima especially, I don't know if you have ever been there, but we are a Blessed Sacrament chapel. It's very small. It's very small. And you go in, and in the center of it, it's a tabernacle, and then you can either sit around it or kneel around it. And especially when it's warm, this is the way I describe it. I feel like I go in there, and I'm just going back to the womb of my mom. It's so comfortable, so personal right there with God. I mean, to me, that little chapel has been a blessing. And I have the blessing that the parish bought a house for the priest about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. It's right across from the parish. So anytime during the day when I feel tired, when I just feel like I need a break, I just go over there. It doesn't matter sometimes, it's in the middle of the night, and if I wake up or for some reason I cannot sleep, I just go across the street and spend some minutes in their prayers. That chapel has been a true blessing for me. And I know it's not only for me, it's for the whole community. We have a key box that people have the code, and especially young people, they come at all hours of the night, just after work and things like that. They just go in for a few minutes. Some of them come and play their guitar, and some of them have their journals, but it is just a beautiful place to pray. So that has been the main thing that has helped me to persevere. But the second thing has been the contact with people. Just being around you has really, helped me. I don't know, I have never been married, but I think priesthood is just like marriage. You go through up and downs. I don't know if Father Ratuiste has experienced this yet or not. He's a young priest. But as I talk to marriage couples, as I work with Retrovi and the Marriage Encounter, I hear from couples that there are some times that they love their husbands. Their husbands or wives are just the best in the world. And there are some times that they just want to kill them, and they just want to be away from them. Sometimes for us as priests, it goes like that, up and down. There are some times that I love being a priest. There is nothing more beautiful than being a priest. Our ministry is the most amazing. And there are some times that, why am I still a priest? There is a story of a priest that, I shouldn't tell stories. But now I have to say it. So there was this person who didn't want to get up in the morning, and his mom went and said, it's time to get up, it's time to go to church. And the person said, no, I don't. I'm sleepy, I don't want to go. The mom came 10 minutes later. It's time to go to church. Get ready. Get up. No, I don't want to go to church. And then she said, come on. It's time to go. You have to take your shower and get ready and go to church. And he said, why? I don't want to go to church. Well, I'm going to give you two reasons. First, now I forgot. But one of the reasons is you are the priest, so get up and go to church. I know. So sometimes, like, why do I need to be a priest? People don't like me, and I don't like them. So why should I be a priest? Actually, I can never say that. But yeah, I mean, priests, we go up and down. So, however, other than prayer, something that has helped me really persevere as a priest and just to fall in love more with being a priest and with my ministry is just being around people. Something happened in 2008. It was 2000 and, August 2008, Bishop Skillstad asked me and said, Father Miguel, we need a priest to help at the House of Charity. We need a chaplain over there. Would you like to do it? And at the time, I didn't have any idea what the House of Charity was. I had heard about it, but most of my ministry had been down south, so I didn't really know what the House of Charity was. As a seminarian, I didn't have the blessing to go and help over there. So I remember I said, yes, Bishop. And the first day I had to show up for work, I went and I tried to go through the main door, and I saw all the homeless people there smoking, and it was just stinky, I wasn't used to that. I feel bad to say, but I really wanted to vomit, and I turned around and I didn't show up. I remember I went home and I went back to my room and I was praying, and I say, why is Bishop Skillstad doing this to me? What did I do that he hates me so much that he is doing this to me? And I remember later on I talked to Bishop Skillstad and I apologized because I didn't show up. And he said, you know, Miguel, I think this experience, as hard as it is for you, I think it's going to help you to be a better person and a better priest. And he's such a wise man. That experience of working at the House of Charity as a chaplain for a couple of years, it was the best thing that happened to me. It really changed my life. I learned to love people of the House of Charity, not only the homeless people, but people who work in there. And it truly changed my life and helped me to see the presence of God in people. I think it was a few years later, Bishop Supich invited me for dinner in a nice restaurant. And I knew he wanted something because he and I used to go to lunch and to dinner often. But it was usually, Arby's or something like that. It was just a regular restaurant, but this one was a fancy, nice restaurant. So we went over there, and sure enough, the middle of dinner, say, Miguel, you know how busy we are right now. We have a lot of work in the office, paperwork and all that. And one of the things as a bishop, it's I have to be with people, and I have to be as present as possible for them, but I cannot do it. I need a little bit of help, especially with Hispanic speaking people. So can you please represent me in all these different groups? We call them lay groups. At the time it was Cursillos, Catholic Renewal, Marriage Encounter, Retrobuy, Prison Ministry, and Catholic Charities, and a few more. Could you go to the meetings, and could you go to the congresses and meetings and celebrate Mass and hear confessions and all that? And of course, I say yes. And I remember I showed up to these meetings, like the Catholic Renewal, and the first thing they asked me, Father, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? I have no idea what that is. I'm here because Bishop asked me to be here. I went to the Newman Center working with young kids. Like, I have no idea what it was to work with young kids. Same thing, merging all the groups, they will ask me, you have this charism? It's like, I don't know. I'm just here to find out if I do it or not. However, I kept showing up, and I kept representing Bishop and just being present there for people. And to me, that's what has given me perseverance, or has helped me to persevere as a priest, just having contact with people. First of all, I get to see how hard you all work for the church. You don't get paid. Everything is volunteer. You sacrifice your time. You sacrifice your talents. You sacrifice your treasure. You sacrifice your lives for the church. And to me, that's very edifying. That's very edifying. Many of the things I do them because I am a priest. I do them because that's my job. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. However, as I go around the diocese and I see all of you working, you do it because you love God. You do it because you love the church. You do it because you love us. As priests, and you love helping us and being there. I see that because when I go over there and I celebrate or I hear confessions or I am part of these Catholic groups and congresses and things like that, I see the faith of the people. I mean, I see the faith of the people. We're talking about here right now, a few minutes ago, this family whose little kids, 3 and 4 years old, they came in front of the Blessed Sacrament and they just sat in there in their chairs, not saying anything, just with their little hands like this, praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I mean, talk about faith. Talk about faith. People who really love God and have faith in the Eucharist and have faith in the promise of eternal life. I mean, I get to see all this. I get to see all these marriages who, unfortunately, many times when I meet them, they are going through difficult times. Many times they are thinking about separating or they are thinking about divorcing. And then I get to see how in their faith they go on their knees and ask God for help and for the grace to continue to be together and for the graces of the Holy Spirit to flourish in this beautiful sacrament of marriage. And later on, when I get to see them a few years later and they are continuing their marriage and trying to do good, I mean, what a beautiful thing for me as a priest. It's so edifying and gives me strength to continue to do what I do. Talking about prison ministry, I mean, I see the faith of all these people. Just to talk about an example, we were not able to go to the main prisons and jails for almost 2 years because of COVID. And when we came back a year ago or so to the prisons, first thing I thought, it's like, well, all the people, there's going to be nothing again. We're going to have to start from scratch. All the Catholics are not going to be used to coming and receiving the sacraments. They are not going to be used to praying the rosary anymore, to adoration and things like that. I said, everything's going to be gone. However, it was amazing to go and see that most of the guys we used to meet, they were still there. Even though there was no priest or deacons, or even though there were not volunteers going, they still met together every Monday and every Wednesday for a little Bible study, to pray the rosary, and just to hang around as Catholics. When they didn't have the opportunity to go to the chapel, they did it on their own selves, but they all came together. And their faith continues to be strong. And their love for God continues to be strong. I see all these things, and they just all edify my faith and my ministry. So whenever I ask that question, whenever I hear that question, I ask myself that question, what has helped me to persevere? First of all, is prayer. But the second thing, it's all of you, hanging around people, just spending time with you, listening to you, seeing your good example, seeing your love and your faith for your families and for God. That's what helps me to be even a stronger priest. A couple of years ago, well, just after COVID, I talked to Bishop Daly, and I said, Bishop, you know, I'm part of all these groups. I think it's time for you to ask another priest to do it. First of all, I'm getting older, and I cannot travel that much anymore to the Tri-Cities all the time. But also because I think another priest should have this experience of being around people, working with people, and seeing people pray. I love it, but I think it's good for other priests to see this. And that's what I think when I'm still waiting for the call that he tells me there is somebody else. He hasn't called me yet. But when I think about this, that hopefully one day that calls come, and he says, you don't have to do this anymore, I think I'm going to miss it a lot. I'm going to miss it a lot being around people. So I already have in my mind different ways I can continue to be around people. And because, I mean, it has been so enriching in my life as a priest. So thank you so much. Thank you for all your love. And thank you for all your support. And also, you know, sometimes I know we all pray for priests, more priests, and we pray for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. But sometimes even though many of the seminarians don't become priests, your prayers are very powerful, and your prayers always bring fruit. Talking about prison ministry, I think before COVID, right now our group is smaller, but before COVID, there was like 40 of us who used to go and volunteer in the prisons and the jails. And I think of those 40, at least 25 were people who at one point or another were seminarians. So even though they didn't become priests, they are, I don't know if they are good husbands or not, but they seem to be good husbands. They seem to be good parents for their children. And they help in the church a lot. They are very committed to the church. So even though they didn't become priests, your prayers still bring fruits to our church. So thank you so much. Thank you.